Let us come before God in prayer as we prepare our hearts to hear God's word. Send down your Holy Spirit, O God. Tear open the veil of heaven and speak to us as your beloved children, so that we may hear and believe the good news of your word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. The second reading is Psalm 29, reading responsively, and the words will appear on your screen. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all say glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
The New Testament reading, Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. A New Testament reading from Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole of Jordan countryside, and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The baptism of Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We just heard a reading from Mark's Gospel. Mark is always in a hurry. Or maybe it's Jesus that's always in a hurry in Mark's Gospel. And Mark just wishes to convey to us the urgency of Jesus' mission. One of the characteristic words in the Gospel of Mark is the word immediately. Have we read just one more verse? In fact, just five more words in Mark's Gospel this morning, we would have heard Mark go on to say, "And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness." If you're ever in a Bible trivia quiz and they read you a passage from the life of Jesus and you hear, "And immediately Jesus," the answer is Mark. Every time. But as I was thinking about that rush that we find in Mark's Gospel, it dawned on me perhaps that urgency is fitting. After all, we believe that the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ lasted a mere 3 years. 3 years to teach the entire world about God and God's love for us. 3 years to redeem the entire world. It was a big task. There was no time to spare. Many years ago, when the ministerial candidates would graduate from seminary in the Presbyterian Church in Canada, the National Church would send these newly ordained ministers out into the OM field, ordained mission appointments. They were two-year postings, if you will, two-year appointments where ministers would go out and begin their ministry. And after 2 years, they could stay, but many would leave. They would go and move so that they were closer to home, perhaps, to a place that they felt was more fitting to how they had imagined ministry. And from the perspective of congregations, 2 years or 3 years just wasn't long enough. Not long enough to really get to know the people and to understand the circumstance of ministry. So perhaps we need to excuse Mark for the fact that Mark's Gospel has no infancy narrative. What in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke we call the Christmas story. Mark has no time to dilly-dally around with quaint stories about shepherds or the majesty of the Magi. Mark has a mission. Mark is about saving the human race. And yet, if you read Mark's opening very carefully, these opening verses that we've heard this morning, all of the elements of Advent and Christmas are there. We just have to listen for them acutely because they come at us fast. As we heard just 4 or 5 weeks ago in Advent, in Mark there is the announcement of the prophetic hope from the book of the prophet Isaiah. as Mark ties the coming of Jesus to the long-awaited Messiah of the people of God. There is the story of the forerunner, of John the Baptist, who both comes before and points toward Jesus Christ. And there is the affirmation of Jesus' identity, told in Mark's gospel, not by angels, nor by a star, but through the testimony of John the Baptist and the baptismal announcement of the Holy Spirit, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." In Mark, we have Christmas in 11 verses. But for Mark, as indeed as it is for all of the gospel writers, perhaps the most important declaration of these 11 verses that we read this morning, perhaps the most important declaration in the entire book, are these words: "The beginning of the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." The very first words written in the gospel. Gospel. In Greek, evangelion. Or for more modern ears, good news. But not just any good news. This is not the "I just collected enough stickers on my card to get a free cup of coffee at McDonald's" good news. No, this is world-changing good news. Sorry, I wasn't going to identify any particular cup of coffee when I said that. But it kind of just slipped out. You all knew where I was talking about anyway. This is world-changing good news that Mark declares in the gospel. This is the war over the enemy. The war is over and the enemy is defeated good news. This is God is breaking into human history to save God's people good news. And as the German theologian Karl Barth commented in his magnum opus, Church Dogmatics, this message is connected strictly and indissolubly to the name of Jesus. There is only one person who can deliver such good news, the long-awaited Messiah, Jesus the Christ, our Lord. And for Mark, there is no other place to meet Jesus than at the Jordan, knee-deep in the waters of baptism. Each of the four gospel writers chooses their particular vantage point to declare something important about the nature of Jesus Christ in their first chapter or two. Luke has his infancy narrative. Matthew has the Magi. John has that great hymn to the light. And for Mark, it is Jesus standing in the Jordan River. For it is in the Jordan, standing alongside John the Baptist and longing, that the longing for the Messiah of the Hebrew Scripture and the realized hope of the Christian gospel find their nexus in Jesus Christ. Again, all of the elements are there. Water, the Spirit hovering over the water like a dove, and the voice of God. "It is good. With you, I am well pleased." In the story of Jesus' baptism, we have nothing less than the story of recreation. John is very clear. In Jesus, God comes into the world to redeem the lost creation. There is, in this moment that we join in our reading this morning, a new beginning unfolding in the person, in the baptism of Jesus Christ. And we are invited to be a part of it. In the formulation of the Christian church, we acknowledge that we stand within the light of this good news, the good news of the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ coming into the world. To acknowledge that we too are baptized into a new kingdom that Christ came to establish. To acknowledge in our baptisms that we step into the water of this new beginning and we do so with Christ beside us. As Christians, every time we come to the font of baptism bringing our children, we are acknowledging that in Christ there is new creation. And as we participate in baptism, we become part of that new creation. Good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. History at its changing. And us too. And so it is, as Bart observed about this text, our participation in baptism only has meaning and only has the power to save us when it is strictly and indissolubly dependent upon the name of Jesus Christ. As we look forward to a new year and resolve to live a better life and hope, especially this year, for better things, we are reminded in our reading for this day and the story of Jesus' baptism that we indeed have received new life in our baptisms, and that that is good news. We are called to be God's messengers into the world and to bear testimony to the one who rewrites the history so that we may once more dwell in the presence of God and God with us. We come in baptism and hear God declare, you are my beloved, and we belong in that new creation. Thanks be to God. Amen.